Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
Live from City Center at White Plains, Westchester Talk Radio presents the 16th edition of Fran's World. This is Jim Cleefield speaking. Fran's World is produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center. Hightower Westchester, your wealth is managed to a fiduciary standard. White Plains Hospital, exceptional every day. Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Robeson, the house that service built, and Accorda Therapeutics.
Life science.
It is Mixmaster Matt. And don't forget, you can download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes through the App Store of Westchester Talk. You can like us on Facebook at Westchester Talk Radio and follow us on Instagram. You can find us at Andrew C. Shark. And now the show starring the woman who really loves to talk. She's the world's fastest talking woman. She lives in her world, and we're welcome to it. It's Fran's World with your host, Fran Capo.
Hey, thank you, Jim. Thank you, Mixmaster Matt. We have a new name for you. I love it. Okay, every time it's changing. It's the same two people I work with, but we got different nicknames for them every time. So, Jim, it's been a month, and I'm glad you're back because
thank
I know
you were
sick last time.
I was under the weather, but I'm all better now.
That's now you're above the weather.
I think it's that change of season. That's what happens every year.
Yeah. I know. You know, every year they do those four seasons here
it
in New York.
All, every
what?
Year.
I can't believe it. You know, we got to talk to God about this.
I know.
You know, and see what he's. You know, say, listen, enough with the flu and all that stuff.
Yeah.
We don't want that stuff. Anyway, we have a great show lined up for you. I have two really, really special guests. I want to just kind of say what's been happening with me. I had my second wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yes, we went back to Mohonk and I made my husband hike. He was like, oh, yeah, wait a minute. This is supposed to be something we both enjoy. I go, well, keep up with me. You know, maybe then you'll enjoy it, you know, or maybe I won't let you touch me unless you run after me. And so, you know, So you kind of do things like that.
Yeah.
But you know that film Father and Father that I'm in?
Mm-hmm.
That I had the producer Mark Goldman on and Tom Renner. And the film has now won 12 awards.
Wow, 12.
Yeah, 12 awards. And we're going to Spain. Our film is going to Spain, so we're very excited about that. And I had my show at Terramina's, the comedy show. It was sold out. We did really well there. And I'm working on my 21st book.
Congratulations. 21st.
21 books.
That's amazing. That's a lot of books.
Yeah.
You can fill a whole library that way.
I know. I'm just going to have one little section called the Fran Capo section.
There you go.
And, yeah, and that's it. You can only pull from this section. There's only the letter C in this library. Yeah, and it's the second edition of Myths and Mysteries of New York. I always say myths, and I'm like, myths. You know, that's my New York accent. I got to get the word straight. Youths. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we're going to start out the show with a fantastic guest that we have here. His name is Aaron Wolf. Aaron Wolf is a director, actor, writer, and co-founder of Howling Roof. See, there we go again. I'm starting that all over again. Aaron Wolf is a director, actor, writer, and co-founder of Howling Wolf Productions. His credits include the award-winning films Guest House starring Michael Gross and Heather Lynn and The Walk starring Oscar and Emmy nominee Peter Regret. I might say his name wrong. Aaron could correct me later. As well as Wolf. Wolf has also directed and starred in pilots for Warner Brothers and co-hosted a sports show for Cox TV. Currently, Wolf is in post-production on a thriller, Tar, about an ancient creature that lurks beneath a world-famous La Brea tar pits. Academy Award nominees Timothy Bottoms and Graham Greene star, along with Wolf and Max Perlick. Wolf is in pre-production on the comedy LD University and a companion documentary, We Are All Disabled, drawing from his personal experiences to tackle the urgent topic of learning disabilities in education. An NYU Tisch graduate, Wolf also studied at the Groundlings, hey, he's an improv guy, and is currently featured in a national campaign on education reform. We've asked Aaron to come on the show today, talk about his new film, Restoring Tomorrow, that will be playing nationwide in over 2,000 theaters on November 13th. Aaron, are you on the line?
Yes, that was wonderful. That was quite a introduction. Thank you very much, and congrats. Happy anniversary to you.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, I am very happy to have you on the show. I have to say that, unfortunately, I didn't get to see the screener because I found out about it late, but I did get to see your trailer, and it looks awesome. I was like, that's it. I got to go November 13th. I got to find out where to see this movie. So seriously, it was very captivating, just the few minute trailer that you had.
Thank you. You know, it was wild with the trailer because it's Restoring Tomorrow. We're an independent film, and it's but we're getting this wide release on November 13th, and it's special because it's one night where we're going to have guests across the spectrum. You'll see people that are that you would never think you'd see in the same room together, well-known, famous people, after the film talking the same talk. And that is something that I feel is really, really rare right now in today's world. And that trailer that you're talking about, what was really cool, when it first came out a few months ago, we were on Apple Trailers, which is the main trailer place. We were on Apple Trailers, and we were ranked number 2, just behind the Avengers.
Wow.
And Jurassic World for 3 weeks, which was stunning, because we just were like, there's no way, like, how is this possible? Because they have so much money behind the machine, and we don't. And we still did. So that trailer on Apple Trailers that you saw actually got seen by millions and millions of people, which is super cool.
Well, and, you know, the other thing that says a lot to the quality of your film, because just because somebody has a lot of money behind something doesn't mean that, you know, it's a great film. It just means there's a lot of money behind it. But if you have a film that has great content and people really get touched by the film or the project that you're working on, then it is not the money, it's the word of mouth. It's the quality of where it hits their heart that makes them want to see it.
Yeah, and that is what's driven me and made me love film since I was probably 6 or 7. I've always been fascinated in all of storytelling in the movie industry. And then I'm local to where you are. I went to NYU in the Tisch School of Film and Acting, and
I looked you up.
Excited. I've always been like wear my heart on my sleeve with my work, with all my films. And this one couldn't be more timely in what it's trying to tackle, which is the idea of bringing people together, of restoring places that matter for us, institutions that matter for us, and making sure that we keep hope alive, and at the end that we feel good. And what's cool, on November 13th, not only are you going to get to see the film, but also, again, there's going to be people I've been talking with, people, again, that you would think, you like the Fox News CNN battle, where there's people that would be on both but not on the other.
Right.
They're all in the same room talking about this subject with me together. And my hope and goal is that this starts a movement
that reunites people.
What's that?
That unites people.
Yeah, unites people. And even more than that, look, we can't change the world in one day, but what I know,
but it's
got to
start somewhere. Yeah,
it makes people feel good, because everyone likes, most people love movies, and most people have a place that mattered to them. And once we get down to the core of who we are, which is what this movie does, and it's my personal story along with showing the story of this amazing moment that happened with the Wilshire Boulevard Temple. But it's more than that. It's about communities coming together, and about people coming together, and about my journey back to my place that mattered, and how you can feel hope again. You can feel good again. Everyone asks, what can I do? Well, I recommend create a Facebook group, be a leader, and after this movie is just the start. After this movie, you'll want to have a discussion with a lot of people about positivity. Maybe turn off the news nonsense and the news noise, and turn on the go get them and go make a difference in your community.
Right. Now, just to give people a little background on it. So you grew up in L.A. You attended this historic Wilshire Boulevard Temple, which was founded during Abraham Lincoln's presidency. So this goes back. You even bar mitzvahed in this historic sanctuary. So when at some point you lost ties with it, and I know your dad was involved. He was a rabbi, right, in the temple?
My grandfather was a rabbi, actually, and he was very involved. He was there for 50 years, and the message that he brings, and I said this on a show yesterday, and I want to say it to you, because he came from Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany was a place that when I was a kid, he talked about being in the past. It was something that happened that is done. And the fact that the word Nazi and neo-Nazi is in the current lexicon of conversation,
right,
to me that doesn't make sense, and that needs to stop. And this film and what we're doing with it afterwards, when you're after the movie, it does that. We show that we can come together, we can provide hope, and we can make a difference, and we can get that word Nazi out of the way. Like, that needs to be gone. Yeah. That needs to stop.
Yeah, you know what the problem with people is, a lot of, and I'm not saying this because you want to have a victor mentality, not a victim mentality. Because the only way that you can change your life is to feel that you have power. And when you're a victim, you don't have power. You give it up to somebody else. And so if you could do something, and if you come together with people that are like-minded, which is what your film seems to do, then what happens is all of a sudden you're empowered to change things and not live and go, oh, poor me, poor me. And I'm not saying that people that had tragedies in their lives, that they didn't have legitimate tragedies, or, you know, look, I've had houses burned down. I've had, you know, I've been held up at gunpoint. I've had things happen to me in life, you know, a couple of times. But I'm like, you know what? All right, that happens. You know, so I either can stay in that mode or I can move on. And so the thing is, you want to be able to be empowering. And so the audience, so give the audience the feel for the movie and the message in the movie that you're trying to get across is the message of the hope and reuniting. Now, it's a documentary, correct? A full feature-length documentary.
It's not a documentary like third person. It's about something. It's as personal as any narrative film. It's the same idea. It's weaving my story along with the country's story and this place's story together. I call it it's Forrest Gump, but instead of Forrest Gump, you have a temple taking you through the moments in time in our country's history.
So are you the Forrest Gump?
The victim thing.
Right.
It's something where I've been asked a lot, what can we do? Because they're upset about something going on in today's climate with all the fighting. And I tell them, I'll show you. I don't tell them like, oh, here, you know, you can feel good or whatever thoughts for you. No, no, no. I don't do that. I say, I'll show you. And this is how. And it's bringing people from all spectrums, from the left, the right, the up, the down, all of this together for something bigger. And that's what this does.
And then, see, that's the feeling I got when I watched just that short trailer. I was like, wow, this is, the way you did it, honestly. Where can people see the trailer? What's the website so at least they could see the trailer before November 13th?
There's a lot of places it's out now. The easiest way to do the film is to, if you just go to Fathom, the word Fathom, and then Restoring Tomorrow, which is the film, and then you type in your zip code, not only will you see the trailer, but you can start the movement in your area, start the group in your area to go see the movie.
I just want to make sure people know. So it's Fathom, F-A-T-H-O-M, and the film.
Or if you just Google Restoring Tomorrow, you'll see the trailer on Apple or anywhere else. But the cool thing is, this is a movie about communities coming back together. It's a movie where at the end, you'll feel good. And then you see this special only on November 13th. Moment where all these people from all different walks of life are coming together for a common cause and discussing commonalities with all our differences. And so the idea that you said of being a victim, this is the opposite of that. This is, I call it, you're going in to see a movie, you leave to start a movement.
Oh, wow.
Then you can leave and go do it in your community, and we can get rid of all the anger, all the negativity, and we can start doing something positive in our community, in our home, and feel good again, because that's what I think people want, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a book out called Hope Fill the City of Light. It hit number 11 on Amazon. And the
book,
thank you. And the book is all about that. For people who are very despondent, they don't know what's happening. It's a little boy, a widowed mother, and a successful business, an old man, and they're like, what could we do? And an angel of light appears to them and tells them, and they're all like, but I'm just a little boy, but I'm just a widowed mother. And yet it shows that they each have the power to change their community. And I love the line in your movie called, essence of being a good human being is to being a good ancestor while you're alive.
Yeah, it's when I heard that, I got chills. And it's in the film, and I think that is a perfect point. Right now, everyone's arguing. But when you think about it, our arguing is what our ancestors will think of us. They'll look back at 2018 and see people bickering on the left, people bickering on the right, again, from all over. And the essence of being a good ancestor, to me, as a younger dude who's, you know, just I'm a filmmaker, but the essence of being a good ancestor, what I've learned through this process, and it started with actually I had a marriage that was called off a month before the wedding, and that got this project going, ironically. So something that was a bummer and made me depressed actually became a gift, because it's how I started this project.
And you know, that's weird that you say that, because a lot of people don't realize. Sometimes they go, oh man, this is the worst thing that happened. And you don't know that sometimes it's a gift in disguise. Like you said, like, who would ever think breaking up, you know, a wedding, I mean, you know, that's supposed to happen, a happy event, would then lead you to something else that's even greater than what you thought was going to be, you know, the greatest moment at that point in time. Now, when did you start this project?
It was a number of years ago. It was probably 3 or 4 years ago that it started. And then, you know, through it, I just learned so much. I keep learning and learning and learning about things. So it was like I went on this hyper-focused mission to get to the bottom of what I think the message is. And that ancestor thing that you said, how we are the ancestors for the future, it really made me think, wow, I want other people to see this. Because if you do, then you realize, wait, stop in my steps and think about how I am right now and maybe what I want to do with my community center, something positive, because that's our legacy. Our legacy is what we do now. So
and what we leave
people will look back and be like, wow, look, they did something good.
And this is how they changed the world. Because that's ultimately, you want to leave that mark. Now, I love it because you have, it's not, I don't want to say low budget, but the thing is, you didn't have to spend millions and millions and millions of dollars to get this message across. And
no.
I think that is amazing, because that just shows the how good you are as a filmmaker and as a storyteller, and you're also an actor in it, which is great, because you know, now you're like the triple threat in there. You got all three things. So I just want to make sure that everybody knows the name of the film is Restoring Tomorrow. It's Fathom Events debuts Restoring Tomorrow. It's going to be in about 1,000 theaters nationwide for a single night on November 13th, 2018, this year, folks, in a couple of weeks. And again, they could get the listing. You said the easiest place is to go to Fathom. And
yeah, you go to Fathom, or you can follow Restoring Movie is the tag, or just The Aaron Wolf. That's my hashtag on all social media, and it's all over all of that. So The Aaron Wolf is me. And if you have a comment or question after you see it, feel free. Shoot me a note. I really want to hear what you think.
Okay, Aaron, we can't rush through. We got to make sure people listening could, you know, no correct spellings, okay? So it's
all right, let's do it.
Aaron, A-R-R-O-N, right? Wolf,
yes,
W-O-L.
A-A-R-O-N.
And it's like the animal, Wolf, W-O-L-F,
yes.
No E at the end. So A-R-R-O-N-W-O-L-F.
Wait, no, not R-R, A-A-R-O-N.
Okay, see, wait a minute. Now we're making them mixed up. You spell it. You know how to spell your name. Spell your name.
All right, ready for it?
We're ready.
V-T-H-E, Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, Wolf, W-O-L-F. That's my handle on everything, and you can find out all about this. I keep sharing. I just put up, people don't maybe know him as much on the East Coast, but I did a thing with the mayor of Los Angeles, Mayor Eric Garcetti, and he's going to be a part of the after show where we have this community discussion. A lot of other exciting guests, everyone from Michael Medved to Gordon Robertson. I'm telling you, we've got all kinds of leaders, and we're all talking the same talk, and no one is doing this right now. So Restoring Tomorrow, or it's Restoring Movie on all social media, is just the word Restoring and then Movie, and you'll find it. There's been a lot of articles and stuff written about it.
And yeah, really, congratulations, your Variety article. I mean, I've seen so many cool things. So, guys, if you want an upbeat thing, especially after Halloween, go out, check out the movie Restoring Tomorrow. Hit Aaron up with the correct spelling. Hit Aaron up, the Aaron Wolf. Go to Fathom and Restoring Movie. And you guys will see something that, as you said, you walk in just thinking you're going to see a movie. You come out changing the world. So, Aaron, thank you so much. I'm gonna be there in one of those things with all those other people watching, and I'll be raising my hand, saying all my stuff too. So, I can't wait to see the movie. Thanks for being a guest on the show. Congratulations. I hope it goes worldwide and everybody gets to see this and experience what you experienced.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on your show, and I hope you can bring your whole troop of people, so it's a community in your community that you create, so that everyone is talking and feeling hope and ready to make a difference.
Great. Thanks so much. All right. We'll be back on Fran's World in just a few minutes.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about four decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio,
powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative,
and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit safesecurevital.com.
Welcome back to Fran's World on Westchester Talk Radio. This is Jim Fleetfield speaking. This portion of Fran's World is produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center, Wartburg, Home Health Care and Rehabilitative Care, Genesis Exhibits, Trade Show Displays, Facelifts Remodeling, featuring fine paints of Europe, and the White Plains YMCA, Youth Development, Healthy Living, and Social Responsibility. And now, once again, here's your host, Fran Capo.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Okay, there we go. All right, yeah. Now you can hear. Okay, hey, guys. We'll do that one more time. Okay, hey, guys, how you doing? All right, good. We're back here, City Center. That was great. And now I have another fantastic guest on the line. This guy. All right, my next guest, he's got so many letters after his name that it would take like two alphabets to say them all. For example, he holds two physician and surgical medical degrees, two PhD doctorates, although I bet by the time I finish reading this, he's going to like have another credit, another doctorate under his name. All he needs is like another minute and he gets another degree. He holds humanitarian awards, business development awards, won the grand prize for medicine and the lifetime achievement award in medicine and science, and the lifetime achievement award from Arnold Schwarzenegger. So you think, was this guy born this way? Did he just have these abilities, you know? But Dr. Robert Goldman, or some know him as Dr. Bob, came from a loving, you know, family. His mom was a teacher. His dad was an engineer. He rose to greatness on his determination and literally has changed the world. As a young age, he became involved in fitness and had Jack LaLanne as his mentor. He changed the face of sports forever with his first book, Death in the Locker Room, which uncovered the steroid epidemic and leveled the playing field in Olympic Games. He went on to writing 50, that's 50 bestsellers. I got to catch up. He was appointed President's Council of Sports, Fitness, and Nutrition, is a world champion athlete with over 20 world strength records. He's listed numerous times in the Guinness Book of World Record. So, for example, like, what is strength record? One such record is 13,500 consecutive straight leg sit-ups, just in case you were wondering. I can't even do, like, two. Okay, well, maybe I could do two. He's been inducted into the Martial Arts Hall of Fame, founded the International Sports Hall of Fame, coined the term anti-aging, and has been the editor of several editions of Anti-Aging Therapeutics and Regenerative Biomedical Technologies. He wrote books about subjects like the official anti-aging revolution and stopping the clock. Dr. Bob has created many medical devices, earned an honorary degree at Harvard, holds traditional and a medical license. He's gotten into martial arts, then films. His career has come full circle. And right now, he's presently the executive producer and cast member of Mark Goldman film, the 15-time award-winning comedy short Father and Father. And while he's not doing a million other things, he donates 80% of his time. So that means he's done all the rest in 20% of his time in charitable pursuits around the world, supporting sports, fitness, medical education for sports and medical communities worldwide, visiting dozens of nations with focus on youth mentorship. Listen, this guy knows kings, sultans, presidents, ambassadors, martial arts greats. He's good buddies with movie stars. And now he's here on Fran's World. And now his introduction was so long. That's it. The show's over. No. Okay. Good thing I'm a fast talker. It would have taken a lot more. He's got 8 pages of resume. I'm not kidding. Anyway, welcome, Dr. Bob.
Well, thank you, Franny. Now I know I finally made it that I'm on your show.
That's it. I'm telling you. This is it. You know, there's no more you need to know. Now you can spend 100% of your time going around the world with all those famous people. Anyway, I met Dr. Bob through a good friend of mine. She was a former guest on the show. If you guys remember brain fitness expert Ali Berman. Yeah, remember? Right? The redhead, the very vibrant redhead. And she said, you got to meet my friend, Dr. Bob. And we actually met for the first time in China, right? That was interesting. He knew that me and Ali would be good friends when he saw us both lying on the grass at a like multi-million dollar golf course and taking pictures. So,
did you have Chinese food?
No. Yeah, we did. Multiple. So, Dr. Bob, what motivated you to get into sports initially? I mean, were you like a buff little boy, or were you, what motivated you, and at what age did you start?
Well, you know, like every kid would watch Superman, Batman, you know, all the Marvel heroes, and everybody wanted to be like the strongest kid in the world. That was sort of a dream for a lot of kids growing up in the, you know, in the 60s and 70s. And that was mine as well. And I would say I seriously started training at about the age of 12. The first time I touched the pull-up bar in the school, I broke the school record. I said, oh, this is pretty interesting. Maybe I should try doing more of this. So you can have natural talents, but then it's a matter of how do you hone those natural talents to become not only really good at something, but the best in the world at something, which is really not unfamiliar to you with being the fastest talking woman in the world. So you know that you almost have to train your mind and your voice in order to be able to do that. And it never comes easy. There's always sacrifice, hard work, concentration, focus, discipline, all these things come into play. But it's also more important that you have fun at it, too.
Right. Now, the thing is, when you were doing that, that's amazing that, like, the first time you did it, all of a sudden you realized you had that natural ability, you know, to be able to do that. But now, how did you, so you had this determination. Were you always one of those kind of kids where you said, like, I want that, and then you figured out a way to get it?
Well, pretty much. I mean, I was always extremely determined for, and being very goal-oriented, it was always the purpose to see how could you be the best at whatever it is you're trying to do. And there's no problem with losing or no problem with not being successful at different things. Everybody fails. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger is a good buddy of mine. I mean, as successful as he's been, we all fail. And you can't be afraid of that. You have to be able to just realize that each failure is really just a lesson towards how you can win in the future. And it may take 20, 50, you know, true success is failing the first 35 times and succeeding on the 36th.
Exactly. Well, they have that Japanese proverb that says, fall down 7 times, get up 8. All you got to do is get up one more time, then you fail. And yeah, just keep doing it.
It's not how you get knocked down, it's how you pick yourself up. And you just have to realize that as part of the process, and every time you get a no for a job or for something you really want, or, you know, a rejection is merely the process to get the acceptance down the road. And sometimes it can take a really long time, and you can get frustrated along the way, but this is all part of the process. You just got to realize that this happens to everybody, no matter how successful they are and how good they are at things. Everybody fails. Everybody goes through these same processes.
Well, that's the thing. I think the problem is a lot of times people only hear about somebody when they're a success. So they think, like, wow, that guy's successful, and they don't realize what they had to do to get there. Are they willing to make the same sacrifices that you did to get to that point? Some people are like, they're expecting it to be like an overnight success, and they don't realize that. But the thing that I thought was interesting is because you obviously, well, I say I'm 37 till I'm 97, but whatever. But the thing is, there was like not like internet and all that stuff. Like the way that you had to get in touch with Jack LaLanne, like how did you get in touch with these people when you were determined as a kid?
Yeah, I mean, it was the process was a lot harder in the old days. I mean, you'd write a letter and you just have to wait for it to come back, and you really couldn't get people's phone numbers so easily, and you didn't have all this connectivity that you have today. One of my mentors was Ben Weider, who started the bodybuilding sport along with his brother Joe Weider, who started all the Muscle and Fitness, Flex Magazine, Shape, and all those magazines. I wrote Ben for the first time when I was around 12 or 13 years old, told him I wanted to be a doctor, and he wrote me back, and we had a correspondence going on. Could you imagine a guy who's running a world federation of over 100 countries at that time taking the time to write letters back and forth to a young teenager? But that was one of Ben's gifts, is recruiting and recognizing talent. And sure enough, years later in my 20s, I became world medical chairman of his medical federation. But that relationship started when I was just a kid. I was only like, you know, 12, 13 years old when I wrote him a letter and said, gee, I'd like to be a doctor one day and I'd like to work with the federation. And, you know, and all these things just evolved from there. And I think what people don't understand is it's really tough for kids today because of the instant gratification they get from their emails or their WhatsApp or Instagram, Facebook, on and on. And they're basing their life not on the people that they interact with, but likes and
And dislikes and thumb ups and thumb downs, and not realizing to establish like you did. That must have made such an impression on you, though, because like if you have somebody of that level responding to you, you have to have so much respect for that guy, thinking like, wow, he thinks I'm important enough and he sees talent in me to be able to correspond with me and not go, it's some 12-year-old, you know?
Well, it's not only that. I think it's a matter of, you know, I think that people today, young kids today, are not willing to sacrifice, work for free, work a long period of time, you know, and realize that you don't always win right away. Everyone doesn't get a trophy. The winners get the trophies, not the third, fifth, tenth place. And I think a lot of things are being kind of warped out of shape to the detriment of the kids today because, you know, if everybody gets a trophy, why bother trying? If everybody gets everything, why bother trying? You know, we had to work 3 or 4 or 5 jobs when we were kids, from paper route to mowing lawns to, you know, shoveling snow for 25 cents. And today kids get their allowances or they, you know, they get what they want without you know, having to really work for it. And that's a negative for them because it doesn't allow them to understand the value of money, the value of hard work, the value of disciplining or being mentored by others, or the respect for those that came before you. And I think that's a real deficiency and an unfortunate place that a lot of young people are placed in today simply by the way society is today with immediate gratification and not, you know, you should immediately get everything because you're you. Well, no, that's not the way it works. You know, I donated time and I still donate my time. I mean, within the federations, those are volunteer positions. You're not paid for those. But for us, it was an honor to even get to work with these people. So we would travel and do and work hard and never ask for anything to be returned, just realize that we were fortunate enough to be able to interact with these kind of people and learn from them, which is a little different, unfortunately, today. We expected nothing but the ability and the chance to give of ourselves to maybe learn something and maybe, you know, something down the line might work out a little nicer.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that kids do have that feeling of entitlement. And not only that, because of what you said, because of the way that all the society is set up, they think everything should be instantaneous. Oh, what? That guy didn't answer me within 5 minutes? Okay, then that's it. But when you're saying this, I'm thinking, like, so how do you instill in them that? If it's not instilled in them in the institutions that they're learning it at, and if it's not instilled in them from their parents, you know, by just saying, here's an allowance instead of, hey, you want that car, go work for it. I used to teach my son, like, he had a transmission that he needed fixed, and he goes, Mom, I don't have money for the transition. For the transmission, I was like, well, then guess what? What skill do you have? And he goes, what do you mean? I said, you know how to build websites. Go to the garage, tell the guy you'll build him a new website if he does your transmission for free. And so I taught my son how to barter with the stuff that he had to be able to get things, you know, to figure out ways to do something. So how would you suggest, okay, so a kid today could learn that?
Well, I think it's really, they need good mentors, they need good teachers. And I think that even from the education, the family units, all these things are kind of broken down. And they're not real, and kids are not even interacting with each other. They'll sit at a table and they'll be texting each other.
Right, 2 feet, not even a foot away from each other. You know, I can't talk to you, I'm texting.
Instead of talking to each other, right. Or instead of enjoying the moment where they are, they're taking selfies all day. You know, I don't even know how to take a selfie.
I could show you, but no.
Okay. It's kind of goofy, and these kids, and it's even worse with the women than the men.
Girls,
I mean, they're constantly taking selfies of themselves. It's like the self-adulation that's kind of nuts.
Yeah, they're patting
them. It really detracts from them enjoying the moment of where they are, the people they're with, the experience they're having, what they're really seeing around them, because they're so concerned about that shot as they fall off the building 40 stories because they're trying to get that selfie leaning over the side of the building.
Right, to make it exciting so they could get 10 more likes, you know, instead of what they're doing.
Yes, 10 more likes. And it's almost like these endorphins, you know, this dopamine is released every time they get a like, and that's why they'll go back and forth. And how many people liked an Instagram photo or a Twitter twit or whatever, you know,
I don't even know what the heck the name is. But, you know, but the other thing, too, is like people, they're waiting so much for the recognition of other people instead of just doing it for their own self-satisfaction. Like, wow, I did this. I accomplished this. They don't need to have the acclimate, you know, of everybody else going, wow, you're great. Hey, I'm doing something. I know it's good. I don't need you to tell me it's good. I just need to know that I'm doing something good. But here they're so concerned about it. So if somebody... How did you learn, though, because you're so successful, how did you learn about business? Was it all through mentors? Did you read a lot of books? I mean, how did you get to where you are?
Well, it's kind of funny, you know, I was an okay student, but without ever taking a business course in my life, I was sort of like an idiot savant in business. I could manage 8 companies in my head. I never really took any business courses, nor reading all the business books. It was just something that I just tended to be very good at because of the ability to abstractly think and put things together in an abstract fashion where they worked. And I'd say that if I was going to give some advice to people on business, you learn by doing and failing and doing and doing over and over again. And the more people you interact with, the more people you mentor under or you study. And by study, I mean actually working with people, seeing how they operate in meetings, how they structure deals, how they do contract law. I mean, you almost learn law and contracts and things about how companies function. You learn by really doing. And if you want a company to fail, go hire a Harvard MBA.
Because
I can't tell you how many companies that I've worked with where they hired top men and these top men, because they didn't have real world experience. They had this academic, non-real world experience. They buried the companies. And so you need to get that experience by actually working these different types of jobs with different types of companies to gain the experience to find out what you really like to do, how you like to see things done, how to interact with staff or with business associates, how to conduct yourself in meetings, what to say, what not to say. When you make a sale, shut up. The sale is done. Shut up and stop the meeting, where people just keep talking and talking and they talk themselves out of the deal.
Right.
You know, there are a number of different, you know, things that you learn only by doing it.
And I think that's the thing, is also sometimes people are so scared to fail that they're scared to try, because you're not going to know unless you try. And if you know,
that's right.
And if you do it and it doesn't work, then you say, all right, so what? I learned that. That was a stupid mistake. I'm not going to do that again. And you just learn it and then you do it. But you do have a really good knack for it. Now, I mean, is there one, because you have it in so many different fields, is there, like, I went to your A4M, which, for people who don't know what that is, it's American Academy of Anti-Aging, what's the last one, A4M? M stands for?
The American Academy of Anti-Aging Gender Medicine.
Right. And there were thousands of vendors there. Now, that was something that at one point you had to say, hey, it would be cool to have this event with all these people and put it together. You know, so you think of the idea and then you figure out a way to do it. And then it just grows and grows and grows. Now,
yep.
Is there a one achievement among your multitude of achievements that you feel special more than others? Because you've, you know, created the whole gamut here, from, you know, the medical to the martial arts to the films. So is there one medium you like better than the others?
Well, I mean, I like mediums that have to do with physicality. That's why I like the martial arts. I like the sports. You know, the sports-oriented things, and those are sort of like from my youth. So that's sort of, we revert back. That's why I'm doing a lot more in the martial arts community now, after being away from it for a long period of time. But I'm also very ingrained into the fitness community, because that was where I also got my start. I think that if I think of awards or things that I've been fortunate enough to get, and I have, you know, as you know, I got all these big trophy rooms filled with stuff. The one award that really means the most to me is the one I actually got this year, which is the Arnold Schwarzenegger Lifetime Achievement Award. And the reason that's so special is that my mentors each received it. Only 18 people in history have ever gotten it.
Wow.
And some of the people that have gotten it have been my direct mentors: Jack LaLanne, Ben Weider, Joe Weider, Reg Park, who is Arnold's idol. You know, to be on the same stage with the people that were your teachers, who now have passed on, was a really major deal. And it was great, because I also flew my folks, my whole family, out to the Arnold Sports Festival, which is the largest sports festival in the world, over 200,000 people, 20,000 competing athletes, which is double the size of the Olympics.
Oh my gosh.
Over 70 sports competitions at the same time. And they had never been to one. I also hold the International Sports Hall of Fame there every year. We induct in five of the world's greatest athletes every year. And to have my folks there and my family there for that, while sitting and standing on the same stage as my mentors and teachers who came before me, was a very, very special situation.
It almost seems surreal to you, because here at one point you're looking up to these people and now you're like, oh my gosh, I'm on the same stage with these people.
Yeah, I'll tell you a funny thing that happens, though, as you move ahead in life and as you start to accomplish, you know, higher level things, you really don't even, you don't even sort of do that too much. You don't really say, wow, I can't believe I'm here. You're actually focused on what's the next thing I need to do to deserve the mentors that I had and to deserve being where I am right now. So, you know, even when I was up there, and it was great and in some ways a little surreal, but, you know, I see Arnold, you know, every year and a number of times at different events. It transcended that, because as I'm there, I tried to reach out to the kids there in the audience, because I know I only had a few minutes to speak. And so what I tried to tell them is explain to them that we all fail, You can get there. You just need to be determined and pick yourself up and stay focused. You know, all the things that we've already spoken about. And I had so many young people coming up to me, not only at that event, but even after that event, at other events, coming up and saying, you know, that short speech you gave changed my life. I was ready to give up. Some kids were even thinking of suicide.
Wow.
And it just turned them completely around. And so I'm really doing what my mentors did, which is reaching out and trying to change those lives and inspire people just as I was inspired by those around me.
Well, you're obviously doing a great job because, I mean, if kids are coming up to you and saying that, that means that it doesn't matter how long you spoke, it's what you said in that short period of time that got straight to them. So let me ask you also, first of all, what things do you have, what things you have coming up that people can...
The one thing I'm trying to figure out is something you're quite interested in, too. I'm trying to figure out the aging riddle to see how we can be, you know, strong and healthy to 100, 120 or beyond, because we're having too much fun here.
Oh, yeah, so I'm not ready to leave. I'm 37 till my, yeah.
We've got to figure this out. You know, I want to keep my folks alive and those around me alive and in good top peak health. And, you know, so that's the challenge to try and figure this out, because the technology is coming around very quickly. And I think if we can pull it together in the correct fashion, I think we could have extensive increases in longevity at peak health.
Well, let me ask you two more things just before we go. Is there, I know we spoke a lot about, you know, helping young kids, people who are older who said, wow, I didn't get to where I want to be. Would you be giving the same advice to somebody, let's say in their 50s or 60s, who are, you know, it's like, wow, you know, what could I do? I'm too old or this, which I never believe you're too old to start accomplishing. But would it be the same advice?
Well, I'll tell you something interesting. Arnold Schwarzenegger is like father-like figure. Is a gentleman by the name of Jim Lorimer. And Jim is Arnold's partner in the Arnold Sports Festival. He was a former FBI agent, Special Forces, mayor of his town, very successful guy. And Jim is now in his early 90s.
So
when he hit 90, I asked him, because I've used him as I use Ben Weider as a benchmark and Arnold as a benchmark and, you know, Jack LaLanne, you know, I look at their careers and then look where I'm at that particular age, when they were that age, what they were doing. And I asked him, I said, tell me, what could you tell me? You know, we're getting older now and I'm sort of like the same age that you were when you met Arnold and you started the Arnold Sports Festival. What advice can you give me about life in general? And he said, I got to tell you, the greatest 25 years of my life was age 65 to 90 to today.
Yeah.
He says the greatest years, the most progressive, the most fun I've ever had has been age 65 to 90. Now, could you imagine somebody after having such a stellar life career to say that my life really didn't start till I hit 65. So I said, great, I got a few years to go yet.
Exactly.
Before things start to happen. And even when we're at my high school reunion, you know, a lot of people have had rough times. They have divorces and health issues, family issues, and they're really down and out about life in general. I said, look, you know, your life is anything but over. Your life is really just starting. And I told them the story about Jim Lorimer, and it really had an impact. It hit a chord with a number of them, not everybody, but that there is still a lot that they can do, that their life is not over, that it's not just about the kids or the grandkids. It's also still about them. They still can get out there, make things happen, do things that are exciting, and really live. And at the end of the day, we're only here for such a short period of time. You really got to value and respect that and try to live the dream as best you can. And that takes energy and focus.
Well, I always say, that's such great advice. I always say, live every day as if it's your last, and one day you'll be right. On that last day, you don't want to be doing the laundry.
You're definitely going to be right. That's what we can guarantee you.
And so I feel like every day, that's what I always say to my kids. They go, when people say, when you retire, I go, what retire? What do you want to retire for?
Retire to what? Play golf?
Exactly.
Well,
I do that now anyway, but you know, not golf, but the funny shoes part. But I just always feel like there's always something more you could do, something more you could explore, something more to accomplish, another book to write, another. It doesn't matter. Just living life, really enjoying it, living in the now. Now I know the one thing that we do both have coming up is tomorrow. There's actually a screening of the film Father and Father with Mark Goldman and Tom Renner in it, and you are are the executive producer on that film, and I'm in that film also. And they're having the screening tomorrow, Saturday, October 27th, 2018, at 6 p.m. at the Lorraine Gregory Studio with Donna Drake. And so if you guys want to find out more about that, you could just check out Farther and Farther, the film.com, and you could find out how to attend that event. And yeah, and Bob, well, I don't know if you are you going to be there, Dr. Bob?
Yeah, I just flew in from out of the country purposely for that, and I just landed in Chicago, and I'm getting on a plane tomorrow morning to fly to the event.
So you'll be able to hear somebody who just gave you this fantastic advice, and maybe in person you might even be more inspired. But the film itself is doing great. It's won over 15 awards, and congratulations on that, too. And you have other martial arts films. You have so many things that are happening. But I really thank you for giving this great advice, because that's what people need. Sometimes they just need a word of encouragement or hearing from somebody that's been so successful that they go, that's how we did it. Okay, great. I could do that. I could write to someone. I could donate my time. I could do that. Life is worth this. And once you hear that from someone that you respect, I think it changes your perspective. Like, if he did it, I could do it.
Well, if anybody had seen you like in China, like I did, you are a wild woman. I mean, I'd be exhausted just trying to keep up with you with this running here, there, and all over the place. If I had spent another few days with you guys in Beijing, and if you didn't take off to go terrorize another part of China with whatever antics you were doing, I would have needed to go into the ICU in the hospital from exhaustion.
Well, thank you. Yes, I do. I do love having that Energizer Bunny type attitude, because I just love life so much. And I'm like, what's over there? What's over there? Yeah, I don't want to hear anything about age. Age is just a number, and it doesn't even matter. It matters your attitude. That's the whole thing that matters in life. And I love your attitude. I thank you so much for spending this time with us today. You could check out Dr. Bob if people want to look you up. You're all over the internet, but where would they go if they just want to learn more about you?
Well, they can just go to drbobgoldman.com. So there's all kinds of, you know, fun stuff there. And if they want health, free health information, they can go to worldhealth.net, www.worldhealth.net. .net, like the World Health Organization. There's hundreds of thousands of pages of health information. It's all free, and they can go and learn about just about any health interest they have.
Great. So, guys, if you want to learn about health, anti-aging, you want to come see the film, there's so much stuff you could do. Check out Dr. Robert Goldman. That's M-A-N at the end, G-O-L-D-M-A-N. And tomorrow
yeah,
we'll
be under Dr. Bob, drbob.com, a little easier, less letters.
Okay. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, less spelling. Okay. Great. Thank you so much for being on the show, guys. That's it. We're wrapping up. You've been listening to Fran's World live here at Westchester Talk Radio. Broadcasting live from City Center. Thanks again to all our sponsors. Thank you, Jim, for being my fantastic announcer. Thank you, Matt. And we'll see you guys next month with more fantastic guests and information on Fran's World.
When considering a building or renovation project, you need someone on your side. An experienced and knowledgeable company with expertise in planning, budgeting, organization, and control. Whether the project is a house, a school, a retail location, or an office building, you need Reverso Associates on your side. They're focused on two things: to provide or assist in the management of building programs from the earliest planning through occupancy, and to provide a flexible, experienced management consulting capability specializing in the needs of the construction industry. With a staff of architects, engineers, construction managers, estimators, construction accountants, schedulers, draftsmen, and other specialists, and with experience from over 1,000 projects, Reverso Associates can meet your needs effectively. When deciding on any type of construction project, or if a project is heading in the wrong direction, you need the expertise and experience of Reverso Associates on your side. Call for a consultation, 914-723-3474, or visit reversoassociates.com. Reverso Associates, a team of experts to get the job done.
Somers to Yonkers, Tarrytown to Portchester.
We've got Westchester covered.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
And welcome to Fran's World. This is a special edition. We're here on Westchester Talk Radio, broadcasting live from City Center, produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Hightower, Westchester, White Plains Hospital, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Robeson, and Accordia Therapeutics. So, Normally, we just do our show from 1 to 2, but today, we have another special guest. I'm telling you, this special guest is just coming in from all over the place here. So, with us, we have Sobita Cruz. She's the founder and trustee of a charter school of educational excellence in Yonkers, New York. The school has been open for 13 years. It's attracted kids from all over Westchester County. And the cool thing is this school is excelling in academic achievement. And the school is grades from kindergarten to eighth grade. And it's almost like getting a private education, but it's a public school. So, I would like to welcome you, Sobita. How are you?
Thank you, Fran. I'm so happy to be here today with you.
Great. Now, I have a lot of questions, okay? So, my first question is, were you always in education?
No, actually, I was not. I've been a public relations, community relations person for the past 33 years. I retired from the New York Power Authority, and now I found my passion, and my passion is working with children, and that's where I find my livelihood and my energy, and my life revolves around in the school, the Charter School of Educational Excellence.
So now this is cool. So basically, you're telling me you just decided at some point, you know what? I already had that career. I'm going to start a school. And you just started a school?
Well, actually, my husband is an educator. So okay. when they were giving out these charters 14 years ago, my husband decided, why don't we open up a charter school in Yonkers? My children went through the Yonkers public school system.
Right.
And we decided that parents needed a choice, and let's see if we can make something work and something different. And we have children that come into our school that come in really, really sick because they love the school so much. They want to be in school. We
wow.
teach a love of learning, and that's critical. We teach them how to love learning, but more importantly, all our teachers, administrators, we give those children a lot of love. And I think that's the base. A lot of people think that it's all about education and the math and the science.
Right.
But if you start out with a premise of love, mm-hmm. and they feel it and they know it, the education and everything else, anything else, falls into place.
Well, see, that's the key that people don't realize a lot of times. You know, everything can look good on paper. But just because something is like, oh, we're going to teach you math and this and this and this, if you can't get the kids engaged, if you can't get them to say, I want to go to school, you could have the best teacher, but their minds are not going to be open because they're going to be either fear-based or they're going to be like, this is too hard. But if you're doing it like, hey, come on, let me show you how to do this, and they do feel love, why wouldn't they want to go? Who doesn't like going to a place with this high energy?
Absolutely. And that's what we have in our school. A lot of high energy. We got a lot of young teachers because we take the 23, the 24-year-old that comes straight out of college. And, you know, she has to go or he has to go into a classroom with 28 kids. And what do you do? So our administrators make sure that we have a person that's seasoned to go into that classroom and teach them management. How do you manage that
right.
class? How do you manage little Johnny that can't keep up with the class? How do you manage a child that comes into the school that's in the fourth grade and is reading first grade? All these things, we prep our teachers. They're young enough that they happen to want to change and make a difference because that's why they went into the teaching career to begin with.
And if you're taking kids that are coming out of school, they have that passion, but you know, the ones that just graduated, because it's just like no one's jaded yet. You know, but right away they're feeling like, wow, I'm going to make a difference in a kid's life. And that enthusiasm carries over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the kinds of teachers that we're getting. We have a great team in the school. But the thing that I'm most proud about right now is that the New York State's Regents, which is our education department
right.
in New York State, right?
Yeah.
The authorizer, they've okayed us to open up a high school. So we go from kindergarten through eighth grade. And now we're going to have a high school right in the same campus where we have our elementary and our middle school in Yonkers.
So you have enough, is there a building there yet?
No, we're going to build a building for the high school.
Okay, so you're gonna, so you're imagining that it'll open when?
We're gonna have our first 100 students in September of 2019. It might not be in the building.
Right, it might be like
it might somewhere else, right. An annex somewhere, mm-hmm. until we get the actual school open in 2020.
Hey, I remember when I went to Queens College, they were rebuilding. They were building a building, and we had to have our class in like a trailer. I mean, you know what I mean? I remember going, that's my classroom is in the trailer. Well, oh, we can move it next to a bit of scenery.
Right,
you know,
right.
I mean, it can move. But learning is learning, and if people are having fun, you know, and I mean, you could learn at a campsite. It doesn't, you know, learning is learning. So let me ask you, are there any, well, first of all, I am a speaker also, so I've gotten hired at charter schools to talk to kids and things like that. And I notice there's a different feel in charter schools than there is in regular public schools. So for people who don't know what a charter school is, can you explain the difference between public school and a charter school?
Well, a charter school is really a public school because we get funding from New York State, just the way the public schools do. So we get funding the same way. The difference is our school goes from 8 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Is that the only difference?
That's one of the differences.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And then the other difference is that you have a local board. So there's seven of us on this board that are trustees, that we're the ones that make all the decisions for what goes on within that school. That's the difference. It's almost like coming back to local education, where you don't have the big mass of the district office, where you have, you know, lots and lots and lots of people working, where you have seven board members that are just worried about these students that we have in this charter school.
So it cuts through the red tape a lot of times.
What
happens is, if a decision needs to be done, you don't have to wait 2 years for it to be done, because you got the seven people going, are we in agreement? Good, let's figure out how to do it.
Right. And one of the misconceptions that's out there is that a lot of districts say, well, they're taking our money away. But if you live in Yonkers and you have a child that lives in Yonkers, then the money should follow your child. So whether she goes or he goes to a public school, he goes to the charter school, that money should actually follow the child. It's
right.
Not because it belongs to the school district.
Right.
And that's a very big
yeah.
misconception that a lot of people have.
So when you say follows the child, so if that child is in your school system, that money gets allocated for that, not for that particular student, but for another student being there.
Right, exactly.
So if somebody, is it a different process? If somebody is in Yonkers and they want to go to your school, is it a different application process?
Well, from a public school to the charter school, yeah, we have our different kinds of an application. We go by lottery, so if your child wants to come into the school, we have a electronic lottery that we do, mm-hmm. and that's how we decide, you know, what children get in and which children, you know, will have to wait and be put on a wait list. So we have a wait list right now, over 600 children
wow.
that want to come into our school. So we normally take like 75 children in kindergarten.
Okay. Because obviously
yeah.
the other kids are staying
right.
there unless
exactly.
one moves out or something
exactly.
like that. So if somebody wanted to get on this list or be hopefully one of the 75 they wanted to get in, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, they would. We have our website, which is just Charter School of Educational Excellence.org.
It's that whole long name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or they could actually do CSEE.org,
say
too.
Say it slow.
C-S.
S as in Sam.
Sam. E-E.
E-E.
.org.
.org.
Yeah.
CSEE.org. And then the application process is on that website?
Yes, the application is on that site. And right now, like I said, we're taking children from all over Westchester County for the high school, because we're going to be what we're calling a regional school.
Okay.
So we're going to attract children from all different cities.
Are you taking how many high school people right now? 100?
We need 100 children.
Okay. So guys, if you like what you hear and see the numbers that you like that this school is producing with the kids from kindergarten through eighth grade, then you might want to get your kid into the high school, and this would be the perfect opportunity, because right now they're accepting 100. So you know, get cracking, basically. If you want to do something, get on the website, go do the application. At least you're on there. If you don't get in, then you go to the regular school. But if you want to, at least your name is in there. You got to be in it to win it. It's like a lottery for school, but it is also a lottery for, you know, in life, there's a lottery for the school. So, Bia, I think it's fantastic that you did this, and congratulations on your numbers. That's excellent. And guys, well, once again, we're always trying to bring you things that help you find with passion, humor, health, happiness. And this covers humor, this covers health and happiness and education. So it works out good. Thank you for listening to this special edition of Fran's World on Westchester Talk Radio, broadcasting live from City Center. We'll be back at the end of next month. It's always the last Friday of the month from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Thanks again to our sponsors, Entergy Indian Point Crisis Center, Durante Rentals, Reverso Associates, J.P. McKell Pest Management, Michael Abrolio, Inc., Salem Golf Course. Thank you so much. And don't forget to download our app at Westchester Talk Radio, and we're on iTunes, and you could listen to us there. And if you want to find out more about me, Fran's World, just go to Fran, F-R-A-N, Capo, C-A-P-O, you know, like head of the mob, FranCapo.com. And we'll see you next month, or you'll be listening to us next month. Spread the word.
Shark, Shark Creative.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola, Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too. And now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better.
Shark.